Expression you've heard before. That's what we're talking about this morning. My first passage is going to be out of Matthew chapter 2, as we're reading part of the Christmas story, so you can feel free to turn there in your Bibles. I had originally been just thinking about faith as it's expressed in the Christmas story in general, and I ended up zeroing in my own study on the Magi just because of how much they impressed me. Or their story seems kind of unique. There's faith represented in the characters of the Christmas story all throughout. And it's such a wonder and a marvel. Like, I really hope and pray for you this Christmas, as much as we've all heard this story, how many times we've grown up with it, and you hear this story. If you haven't read it in your Bible often enough, just in regular devotions and reading, every year at Christmas, you're going to get a healthy dose of hearing this story. But we can get almost like, you know, heard that, been there, done that. And it doesn't always necessarily impact us the same way. But I really hope the Lord speaks to you fresh today. And we can see something in the incredible faith that is in some of these characters in the Christmas story. You think about Mary and what she had to go through. I mean, we're going to go through all of what Mary had to go through, but even her faith to think as a young lady and have this angel appear to her one day and make such a proposition to her that she maybe would bear the Son of the Most High, how any of us could even get our minds wrapped around that, let alone this young lady just all by herself. And she has the faith to say, Lord, may it be done to me as you have said. She doesn't have to do much other than just agree, but she's agreeing to a lot. Good for her. She's an inspiration. And her husband expresses faith in a totally different way. Because his first impression that we see from the scriptures, as any man would probably think, finds out the girl that he's engaged to, but he has not been united with yet, is now pregnant. Well, I'm sure the most natural thought for him, as any man would think, I know how girls get pregnant, and I know I didn't do that. There's a problem. It's a huge step of faith for him when the Lord speaks to him and tells him, don't worry, take her as your wife. This thing is of the Lord. What man in his right mind would believe such a thing and go ahead and do that? It's faith. Not to mention, he exhibits another step of faith I'm going to share with you just a little bit later. But then we've got the Magi, such a unique little piece of this story. Because Mary, she has an angel come to her and tell her, this is what's going to happen. It's clear. She can say yes. She can say no. She knows what's going on. Joseph, too, he's confused at first, but then God speaks to him. An angel appears. He has a vision. Okay, I get it. God has told me. I can make a decision, yes or no. But then we've got the Magi. Who told the Magi that they should leave and travel to a distant land and look for a Messiah? Who told them that when they saw a star that somehow seemed different to them, that meant something really special? And not just something special, but very specifically, it meant the King of the Jews was born, the Messiah. Who told them that? Nobody else seemed to know. Does the scripture talk about the huge lineup that when the Magi got there, they had to wait 3 months for that line in front of Mary and Joseph's house to disappear because of all the people that wanted to come and see? No such story in the Bible. Because they get there, nobody else seemed to know. There's no lineup. How did they do that? What kind of faith did those Magi have? Nobody told them to go. Nobody told them where to go. Nobody told them what to do, yet they did it. It's amazing. So we're going to read a narrative of this in the scriptures in Matthew, if you've got your Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 2. Pardon me, I'm a little ill. If I cough into my microphone, I apologize. So Matthew 2, 1 to 12 says, Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests, scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "To be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make careful search of the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went on their way. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and opened the treasures they presented to him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. So, there's much that I feel like I can learn from the Magi in the kind of faith that they had, which is exemplary for us. The first thing that you can actually see it in all the characters of the Christmas story, and you can see it in anybody who has true faith, is steps of obedience. They sprung into action once they knew what they needed to do. We're going to figure out later how they knew how to do that. There's a passage from James chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, which tells us a little bit about faith and the kind of faith we too need to have. Oh, I'm sorry. It went funny. Where it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no action, he's got no works, can that faith save him?" So obviously, you know this picture. This is a person who says, "I believe. Yes, I believe." And it's as though James is saying, "Okay, well, if you believe, show me how you believe. Where is the evidence that you believe?" "Well, I just believe in my head or in my heart. I have my own faith. I can believe." Show me the evidence. Faith that has no works, can that save them? Faith, if it has no works, it says, is dead, being of itself. So true faith in the Lord is going to move somebody to a response. And this is exactly what happens to the Magi for sure. We see it. Mary, she obeys. Joseph, he obeys. This is the other vision I wanted to tell you about Joseph, just a little passage out of Matthew 2. This is a wonderful little step because Joseph, he can obey and say, "Yes, I will keep her as my wife. I will trust that this is really God's son and my wife and not some other man." But he might have that nagging in the back of his heart or whatever else. Like, who knows? Maybe it really was somebody else and it's just, I'll just stay with her, whatever. But he shows further obedience because the Lord speaks to him not long after in a vision at night. Because Herod, when he knows about this, he wants to come and get the babies, slaughter them. But here it tells us, Matthew 2:14, Joseph, he gets this vision of the Lord where the Lord tells him he needs to flee with the child for his safety. And again, who in their right mind is going to just pack up, "I'm going to just sell the farm, I'm going to take my family to a distant land, because what, you had a bad dream?" It's no ordinary dream. Tells us Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still night, and they left for Egypt. To me, this is an incredible step of obedience. And one thing that's so incredible about it, not just that he went to this distant country, but think about how fast he did that. How many of you are that quick to obey the Lord. If you're like me, I'm more prone to think, is God directing me in this? I don't know. Think about it and see what he says next week. Is he still? It take me, feels like forever. And I wonder if God sometimes is thinking, I wish I could get Pastor Mitch moving. Take some months to figure it out. Joseph didn't need months at all. God said, go. Joseph said, I'm gone. Same night. Same night. That's obedience to his faith. The Magi were very unique, though. An angel shows up to Mary. No angels show up for the Magi. Joseph has a vision of the Lord in the night. No vision comes for the Magi. Who told them to do what they should do? No dreams, no vision. No one said go or where to go. I want to look at the shepherds real quick because they have they're the closest of the others in the Christmas story that have some similarity to this. They're not super close, but they have a little bit of a similarity in that they are not explicitly told what to do. Luke 2:15 and 16, I'm going to read for you, says that this is the scene with the shepherds in the field after Jesus has been born. It said, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. They got moving because of what the Lord had told them to do. Now, so God didn't actually tell them exactly where to go. It's very neat how the shepherds hear from the angels, because they're just told, you'll find a baby. Like, okay, where? Where are we going to find this baby? Well, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Oh, of course. Well, and then what? Like, first off, that's a ludicrous idea to think you're going to find the baby in the barn. And yet they obeyed and went looking. And which one? Everybody's got a stable. Which one are we going to? But they went. They went. So with the similarity I see here for them is they don't have too much for details. They have some details, and yet they go. To me, it's almost like it's almost like the angels are hinting, because the angels don't tell them, you need to go and you'll find this baby. They said there is a baby, and he's wrapped in swaddling cloths. It's sort of like hint, 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 right? There's something majestic that has happened. If you go, you can see it. Have you ever been trying to tell something to somebody and they sit there staring at you like a deer in the headlights? Like, oh, I have no idea. It's like, go now. This is what I'm saying. This is something big. I'm probably one of those people who can't take a hint. So for those of you who have tried to pass hints to me and I don't get it, sorry, blockhead. But these guys, not the case. They went. But the Magi, I think, are even still more so unique. Nobody tells the Magi to go. Let's just look at Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2 again, which we already read. But it tells us the story of the Magi and what they did. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived. Just like that. Magi arrived from the east. And here's what they said. In verse 2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Okay, so one little detail here about the star before we move on. They saw his star in the east. What they mean is, back when we were in the east, we saw his star. But we don't see his star anymore. That's why they're asking. If we think about the star that moves, and maybe it moves, but that doesn't happen yet. What we see here is the star appeared, and then the star disappeared. They saw a star that appeared, and then it disappeared, and that meant something to them, and they acted on it. Nobody told them what it meant. Nobody told them where to go. But they did something about it, and they end up in Jerusalem. The star is not around anymore. If the star had been leading them at this point, they wouldn't have to go to King Herod and say, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? But that's what they're doing. Where is he? We saw his star back when we were in the east. And we've come so that we can worship him. I want to give you a little reminder of what this kind of faith is like. And Jesus, just after he was resurrected, and he was talking to his disciples. And you remember that when he first went into the upper room, there was 10 of them there. Minus, of course, Judas, who was spilling his guts in a field somewhere. And Thomas. And they all told Thomas, we've seen him. And he had trouble. He said, you know, until I can see him, until I can touch him, I'm having trouble getting to that point where I can really believe. My faith is having trouble. But he sees Jesus later on in that same upper room, and Jesus says to him, oh, that did it all by itself. Funny thing. Oh, my. Mr. Schnell, it seems like I'm going the wrong way there. Can you just get me back to that scripture I was at, please? John 20:29. Thank you, sir. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet have believed. This is faith. This is what the Magi had. They had seen just a glimpse, but they hadn't seen the whole thing. They don't know what they're doing yet. And yet they believe. So Mary sees an angel. Joseph has an angelic vision and a dream. They get all this stuff, all this evidence. The Magi don't get any of these things. They do get a star, but what good is the star? How do they know so much from a star? When they get there and see Herod, how did they know that this star was, as they say, his star? Why do they say we've come to worship he who's born King of the Jews? Where did they get all that information from? How do they know that? When was the last time you looked up at the stars and said, oh, that star, that one, that's the one that means whatever, it's going to be a good year. Oh, that's the one that means it's going to snow. Oh, and that's the one that means that Jesus is God's son. Oh, and that's the one that means, well, how do they know such a thing? There's only one way that they could know this, and it's by divine revelation. And where does divine revelation come from? What I mean by divine revelation is God revealed it. God speaks. Can anybody tell me today, like, and I mean seriously, with your mouth, can anybody tell me, how does God speak today? Where? Bingo. His word. So Mary gets her own little piece of divine revelation because an angel showed up to speak to her because she had a very unique situation. He said, you're the one who's going to be chosen. We get from his word. That's divine revelation. So where did they get this from? These people from the east. If it comes from God's word, there's one example here that might have illuminated for them. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, which is a prophecy that says, I see him, but he's not here and now. I can perceive him, but he's far in the distant future. A star will arise from Jacob, and a scepter will emerge from Israel. Now, if I'd have read that, I wouldn't have thought anything of that. I wouldn't have even thought that meant a literal star, if it does. But somebody from the east who thinks differently than I do and studies differently than I do might get something out of that scripture. So who were these men? What kind of men were they that they could understand something like this? We call them magi. And what, with the little we know about men like this, they were astrologers. These are people who studied the stars. And in fact, I call them religious astrologers because, like, that's almost redundant is the word I'm looking for. But I think it's Herodotus that writes about magi as an extra-biblical source. And he talks about them taking kind of a priestly role. So there's different eras. The role of a magi changes throughout time in history, but there was a time long before Christ where they would have had almost like a priestly role. But the Magi are mixed up into all kinds of things. We think of them as these three kings, right? We sing that, or the wise men. But the fact is, as we get the word magic from Magi, and if you've read your Bibles, if you've read the whole thing, you know that the scriptures are pretty hard against magic. We should have nothing to do with it. The Bible says the magic is evil. We're not to have anything to do with it. Why is God using men like this? You know, think about what we know about these guys. For instance, a place where you see similar people come into the picture in the scriptures is in Daniel. Chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Daniel. When Daniel and his friends are being raised up to be, counselors, maybe, in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, wise men in his kingdom, it mentions that they are mixed in with the Chaldeans and conjurers, the magicians, and the sorcerers. What comes to your mind when you think of conjurers and sorcerers? There's one thing that comes to my mind. It's a witch. So this is, they're religious astrologers, but it's not like religion like we do. We're talking about people who are mixed into dark, like the dark arts, the power of the occult. It's terrible stuff. And these are where the Magi are a branch of this. Why would God choose such men as this? And it might shock you to even be thinking about that, thinking about the fact that these men could have been mixed up into this awful stuff. Is there nobody here that was ever mixed up into something awful before they knew the Lord? As a dear friend of mine, he's in his 80s now, and I love his testimony, because when he was saved, he was a total drunkard. He just about burned his own home down, coming home drunk, leaving a cigarette gone. What a man of God he is and has been for decades. But before God saved him, before he was a man of God, he was a bum. He was a drunkard and a bum. But God spoke to him one day, changed his life, and saved his soul. And God grabs people. Even a Magi he might grab. Now, this is the kind of person, though, a Magi, who would naturally study the stars. And at first, he has this star. It just appears and disappears. It doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. But they followed it to Israel. And they discerned that it was the way to go. This is faith, maybe blind faith, but it's faith. And when they get to Jerusalem, is what they ask, where is the one born of the King of the Jews? And it's then that we begin to see this star do some stuff that is even more incredible. If at first it appeared in the east and then it disappears, now that they are here and now that they have asked, the star appears again. And it appears to move. Oh, so I'm sorry about that. We were just getting a little behind on my slides. Matthew 2, 9 to 10. After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly and with great joy. Now, here's something that I want to tell you about God in our faith. So, I began by saying, like from James, true faith obeys, right? And acts. Faith without action is dead. So when God gives us something, when God gives us a hint and a clue, we need to act on it. But he doesn't always give us all the clues. God's a bit of a breadcrumb trail. You know the psalm where the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," right? It doesn't say the word is a lamp unto my whole life or my whole path, the whole highway. It's a lamp unto my feet, and I take that step. And then, now what? I get back into the Word for divine revelation, and I read His Word, and it's a lamp unto my foot for my next step. And this is precisely what the Magi had to do. We've seen a star. It's new, it's different, and it's gone. What does it mean? Who knows what it means? Let's get into our stuff and find out. Oh, in Numbers it tells us, a star will arise, a scepter, Judah. Maybe this is the star that indicates King of the Jews has been born. What do we do? Who knows? Let's go see. All they know is the next step. Get there and find out. And they obey after they talk to Herod. Then God says, okay, shine the light on the next step. Now, the star appears again and moves, and off they go. God is revealing their path one step at a time. And it tells us in verse 10 there that when they saw the star again, who knows how long they had traveled without the star? Who knows how long it had been? They're wondering, is anything going to pan out from all of this? And they see the star again, and it says that in verse 10 at the bottom there, you can see, when they saw that star again, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And now one of the last things I want to talk to you about Magi faith is the response they have when they finally get there. God leads them on their little journey. And when they finally get there and they see the Messiah, what's the right thing to do when you come before the King? But to worship. Out of all the characters in the Christmas story, the Magi are the only ones who bring him gifts. I often tend to think about that it's like their gifts are like their worship. The gifts are going to show something actually different. I'm going to show you in a second. I'm going to read this scripture. It says, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped. So the worship is happening already before we even get to the gifts. Then they opened their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is where the idea, I think, of the three kings comes from. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. It's not just because they have gifts. It's because there was a prophecy about this that I'm going to show you from Isaiah. In Isaiah, there's a few verses here, so just follow with me. It says, nations will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Think of a star brightly rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel afar. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. Pardon me. They will bring gold and frankincense, and they will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. It's scriptures like this where we get where the song about the Magi and the wise men turns into being three kings. It comes from scriptures like this. But scriptures like this tell me something incredible about this whole story. Because we see this faith of the Magi who know nothing. And they're led one step at a time. And they're forced to do something because they know so little, because no angel spoke to them. They had to do something like we would have to do. They got to search the scriptures. You ever had that impulse in your life where you feel like, gosh, it feels like something's different, or God's trying to get my attention about something. I wish I knew what his plan was, what he wants. How do you find out? You can ask him, you can pray, and you can ask him. He's not liable to send you an angel to tell you. Search the scriptures. Search and you'll find it. Search and you'll find what you're looking for. Here are these men. They search, they obey, they go, they're rewarded through all of that. And then when it's all said and done, we find out with scriptures like this that God planned it all long ago. God knew the beginning from the end. He knew the end from the beginning. He prophesied that these things would come about. So you don't know what your next step is, and you need to take a step of faith in your life as you walk with the Lord. And you don't know what it is, but he does. And he knew it long ago. So as a child of God, what you need to know today is that it is safe for you. Even like you think about the Magi traveling at night, traveling in the dark, and it seems like our life is like that sometimes. It is safe for you to go ahead in steps of faith because God is already there. He's already there. You may only get enough light for the next step. You need to take that. And sometimes that's scary. I'd kind of like to know what's down the road or around the bend. There's no safer place, no better place than to be right on the path that Jesus has for you. Stepping out again in faith. We've done it before, haven't we? Those moments where we stepped out in faith. He might be calling you again today. In fact, he wants us to keep on walking in faith. I hope the Magi are an encouragement to you. We're going to wrap this up with a word of prayer and worship in that fashion before we close up our service. So we'll prepare our hearts before we prepare our tummies. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the majesty and the awe and the wonder of this Christmas story and these remarkable men who you would touch and use for your purposes and to accomplish your marvelous wonder. We marvel at it, Lord, and we'd like to emulate it. We too would like to walk in faith as we are called, not by sight, but by faith, to the life you're leading us in and to the things you're calling us to. Father, make us brave and give us courage of heart that even if we don't have the total clarity we might care for, we can trust in you that whatever step in the future we take, you're already there and you can light the way. Father, we come today to say our confidence is in you and our trust is in you. Help us today, Lord, to be a people who prove that to you by acting that out for your glory. We give you all the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Amen.